I think most of you know, but I'm Sue McCoy, and my husband Rick and I have Abba's Arms International. And so tonight, it's been a few months, my husband injured his back, so we're finally back into a place where we could enjoy having the actual soaking in our home and inviting all of you to join us online. So I'd like to offer a short prayer, and then we'll get into what I'm going to share. So Father, we just thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would help each person connect their hearts and the images that you want to give them tonight so that they can experience the reality of who you truly are and want to be for each of them. I thank you, Father, for filling my mouth with what to say and how to say it that would allow each person to experience more of your realities. And I thank you, Lord, for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I can tell you that it's really difficult for me to sit on this chair because this has been going off like popcorn in me for now a week or more. And I feel like I have tapped into something that between what he's done in my heart in the last week or so and what he has been revealing to me, it feels like it's changing the way I look at everything. Because I've never heard these words very often. And in fact, we ministered to someone and we were talking with our friend on the phone and she said, I don't even think I know what those mean. Well, this is what he spoke to me about 6 weeks ago, I believe. Having a little bit of a difficult day, I was being rather harsh with myself. Thinking I need to be doing it all right and having it all together. And he said, would you please be gentle with yourself because that's the way I am. And when he said that to me, it caught me up. I mean, I can still hear the way he said it. It was with such tenderness, I could not even begin to comprehend how it made me feel. It was not a rebuke. It was not a chastisement in any way. It was like, oh, my daughter, I love you so much. Why would you be that way with yourself? That's not the way I treat you. So I haven't been able to get away from those words since he first said them. But it's been a journey for me. And so he's taken me to several scripture verses. And I can honestly say the minute that he said it, I instantly remembered a verse that he had probably spoken to me 20 or 30 years ago from Isaiah 42 and verse 3. And so I want to start off with that verse tonight. And this is talking about Jesus. It's talking about, behold, my servant whom I uphold. This is the one that is talking here. And it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. In the Message Bible, it says, he won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt. He won't disregard the small and insignificant, but he'll steadily and firmly set things right. He won't tire out and quit. He won't be stopped until he's finished his work to set things right in the earth. There is so much about those two verses that I probably spend a good portion of the evening just talking about them. And this is the image that he gave me. You can see real easily, these are my small ones. These are my small reeds. I wasn't going to try and get a smoking flax. That might be a little messy. But these are smoking reeds. Now, if you look at these, even those people that are online or those that are here in our room together with us, they're very tender. They're very thin. They're very flimsy, if you really want to get around to it. They're very weak. And yet, what does Jesus say? In Matthew 12:20, Jesus quotes this verse from Isaiah 42:3. He says, he's not going to put aside. He's not going to break a bruised reed. He's not going to quench a smoking flax. Now, in the Hebrew, okay, I looked it up. The word reed actually means weak and flimsy. A lot of reeds are hollow. A lot of reeds, the strength is when they're alive. Now it's past the season of growing. They really can get very brittle. They're very vulnerable. And I started thinking about it. A bruise is something we see on the outside, but it's bleeding on the inside. And so the Lord whispered to my heart and he said, we may look okay on the outside, but Jesus sees the pain that's on the inside. He sees the bruises and he's not going to break us. Bruised in the Hebrew actually means cracked in pieces, crushed, discouraged, or oppressed. It says that kind of individual, that kind of situation, he is not going to break. And the word break in Hebrew actually means burst, destroy, or hurt. So I want to give you this image that even if you feel extremely weak and vulnerable, he is not going to look at anything except the value that he places on that reed, on you as a human being. The smoking flax, now we don't have oil lamps with wicks. We don't have those kind of candles even that they had back in Bible times. But a smoking flax, the wife had to trim the flax, which is where the flame was, because if it got too long, it would only smoke. It would not give the flame, and it would be rather messy, to say the least, in your house. It surely wouldn't give you much light. So a smoking flax, he won't quench. When I think of a smoking flax, I think there's just a little tiny spark left of light, a flame, whatever. And he's never going to put it out because he wants to protect it. Wind can be a strong force, or fire can be a strong force, but when there's only a little bit left that you can barely see, I just see Jesus hovering over the reeds to protect them and stand against the elements. I see Jesus protecting and guarding that little spark, that smoking flax that's left, because he treasures it and he doesn't want it to go out. That's the way he sees us. He sees us as treasures. He sees us no matter how messed up, no matter how broken, no matter how much we feel weak and unable to do much. Jesus is there to protect us. The word smoking means feeble or obscure. Literally, smoking means darkish. As I said, it's not got much flame. And the word quench means he won't put it out. He's not going to extinguish it. Just like I said at the beginning, but I feel like I need to repeat this. Because we are so prone to beating up on ourselves or have other people say negative words about us, that we have a tendency when we see our brokenness, hey, let's face it, we're all broken. But he's not wanting us to be fearful of what he's going to say or do. He's not wanting us to feel that he's going to reprimand us or make us feel guilty or shame. That's not who he is. If you're experiencing any of those things, guess what? It's not from him. It's from your enemy. And so tonight, I want you to begin to recognize, just as my friend that I was talking to a couple of days ago says, I do not know what it means to have a gentle, tender person with me. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Holy Spirit came. All three of them have the same perspective. They are gentle, they are tender, and they are filled with love and compassion and mercy for us. But we're not prone to gentleness. We're not prone to tenderness. Those are words that you don't hear too many people use. Even the word gentleman, he's a gentleman. Well, guess what? That's sort of out of vogue for most people. I believe that that's a very important person, important image that we should have. I value a gentleman, but I'm just saying, you don't hear very many people talk about a gentleman. I started thinking about when I grew up, there was still gentlemen, and I know there's gentlemen today too, but most of us never experienced a lot of gentleness and tenderness with those that were in authority over us, whether they were our parents or someone else. And therefore, if you didn't grow up experiencing those things, it's very possible that you're not going to have an image that your Heavenly Father is a gentle, tender Father. That's the bottom line of what I'm hoping to present tonight. The opposite of gentle is, tell me, harsh, rough. The opposite of tender is strong and tough. If you think about a tender plant, when it's first coming out of the ground, If you step on it, it's going to be a mess. It's not going to make it. It's not tough enough to handle that ability to keep going. It can't keep growing because we need to feel as a tender plant or as anything that's new, it needs to be in a safe, protected environment. It needs to feel protected and safe. And many of us did not feel safe and protected growing up. And therefore, instead of being tender and gentle ourselves, we have built walls, we have become strong, I'll do it myself, and we have closed our hearts. And if we are in that mindset, guess what? We're not going to be in a place to receive His gentle, tender love. Because it's only when we have Him reveal that He has a gentle, tender heart towards us. Then, because we know that, so I'm praying and believing that each one of you has Him reveal that to you beginning tonight. Because of knowing His loving heart towards us, then we can open our hearts to receive more of His love. I am finding myself experiencing more of His loving me on a daily basis, loving me and being aware of His presence more now than I have ever experienced, because I'm realizing He's gentle and tender with me, and it's not necessarily the way I grew up. So He had me look up some verses, and this was a verse that I had had someone quote. I can remember when it was spoken because I didn't know it was in the Bible. I thought, really? It's in the Bible. And I went and looked in my own Bible and I said, sure enough, it is. Okay. Well, it is in Psalm 18:35. Your gentleness has made me great. Your gentleness has made me great? What in the world does that mean? I had to stop and think about it. And I realized, when we realize His gentleness towards us, then we can be feeling so safe and secure that it makes us feel good and feel great about ourselves in comparison to what we may have before. I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, "For here is how you empower me. Your wraparound presence gives me victory. Your power within makes me strong to subdue. And by stooping down in gentleness to strengthen me, you've made me great." Wow, that gives me a clearer picture. It's saying that the God who created the universe, the one who knows all and is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond anything we could imagine, is so caring for each individual that He's willing to stoop down to help us, just like a parent does with a child. That's the image it gives me. He's that caring. He doesn't need it to be that we have to be all grown up and have our whole, quote, act together or think we've got to do it right. He just wants to say, okay, let me show you how to do this. Or, come on, let's do this together. It's His gentleness that invites us into relationship so that we can learn how to do life the way He's always meant for us to. In Hosea 11 verse 4. That's a verse that I can honestly tell you the first time I found it, I was just drawn to it. And it's recorded in different translations. It's recorded differently. I haven't gotten a chance to totally study it out in the Hebrew, but it's in Hosea 11 verse 4. "I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from the neck, I stooped and fed them." That's another image to me of Him being wanting to come close, wanting to be engaged with us in relationship. And He's specifically drawing us, okay? He wants to draw us with that gentleness and those gentle cords and those bands of love. And then it says He's going to remove the yoke and He's going to stoop down and feed us. It's again that image of very intimate interaction with us. And in the New International Version, it says, "He drew us with cords of human kindness and ties of love." Graham Cook is a man I really appreciate, and he says he has come to know that God is the kindest person he's ever met. I'm beginning to understand why Graham has said that. because I am experiencing more of that idea of his kindness and his tenderness towards us. I'm not going to go through every verse. There's several verses. I can't say there's an abundance that use the word gentle or gently or something. But Isaiah 40 verse 11 also gives us the image of the shepherd who gently leads those that are with young. It says in the Message, like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, hugging them as he carries them, and leading the nursing ewes to good pasture. In other words, here he is, like the shepherd, caring for each one. And I just see him as the gentle shepherd. There is a song called Gentle Shepherd. The Gaithers do it. But it's all about a seeing that he's a tender, caring shepherd who wants to be gentle with us. He's not wanting to be harsh. In Matthew 11:29, he calls himself gentle. In Matthew 11:29, says, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. The Passion Translation says, simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. So I guess what I'm trying to get you to recognize is that when he talks about being gentle, he's wanting you to get to a place of peace and rest. He's not wanting you to strive. He's not wanting you to try harder. He's just saying, come on, come to me, and I'll help you learn how to really live your life. Because it's meant to be something we do together. Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says specifically, gentle is mild, meek, soft, not harsh, as in a gentle nature, temper, or disposition. Peaceable, soothing, treated with mildness, not violent. And I looked up a couple verses from 1 Thessalonians 2:7 and 2 Corinthians 10:1. Here's Paul, the man who was very harsh and very legalistic, that was using the law to justify killing Christians. He was definitely a harsh individual, if not a psychopath. I've heard some people say that's probably what he was like. However, once he encountered Jesus, here he is, and his description is, he's now, it says in the one verse, he's walking in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And then he describes himself as being gentle towards the people, like a nursing mother cherishes her children. That's like a 180 from being harsh to being gentle and caring. James 3:17 says that the wisdom from above is gentle, peaceable and gentle. I'm realizing that every place where I'm not being gentle, I'm probably not walking in the fullness of his wisdom, to say the least. So it's really making me think much more carefully about how I speak even. And the word tender, there's only a couple places where the word tender is used. Most of it is all connected with tender mercies. In Psalm 25:6 and Psalm 145:9, both of them talk about your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses are from old. In other words, they've been forever. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In other words, this is who he is. Tender is not a separate word. Tender mercies is one word in the Hebrew. And it's raham. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly with the Hebrew, but it means compassion. The womb as cherishing the fetus. Tender love. The bowels. It means it's something that impacts your whole being. It impacts your heart. It impacts your gut. It's something that's a reality. It's not just a nice little word. It's tender and compassionate. Tender mercy in the Greek, from when it's used in the New Testament, talks about it being inward affection, sympathy, figuratively pity, and back to the word bowels. We are told that he is filled with tender mercy. But have we experienced him being our tender Lord, our tender Father? I'm not sure that I have until recently. I can honestly tell you, it feels like I have just discovered a new facet of his personality, which is making me come alive because I am so aware he's being gentle and tender with me. Ephesians 4:32 is probably the verse you're familiar with. It says, we are told to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You can only be kind and tender and forgive others if you've experienced forgiveness yourself. And so I'm just saying, until we experience His tender, gentle ways with us and receive His experience of forgiveness, then we're not going to have an easy time. But this verse, the word tender, and when I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, probably impacted my heart as much as anything, because the first word that it defines for tender is to hold in esteem. It's sort of what I alluded to earlier. What that says to me is He's saying He values that. When He's tender with something, He's valuing whatever that is. So He's tender-hearted towards us. It means He's soft and not hard or firm. He's excited. He is excited, kind, concern, and He's compassionate, unwilling to pain. That's the other part that stood out. Hold in esteem, unwilling to pain. If He's that way with me, that changes the way I see myself. Okay, I hear the Lord saying, use this story. T.L. Osborne, who was a mighty man of God, used to impact countless millions in Africa. And he shared the story of a penny that had been trampled in the ground, beaten, mutilated, dirty, in the mud. And he said, but it's still a penny. And Father doesn't care whether you've gotten messed up and broken either, because He still values you, and you have the same value and worth in His eyes. There's nothing about you that's not something that He finds great joy in. It says tenderly. Well, I realize that the biggest thing we need to be aware of is He treats our heart tenderly. And you know, we're supposed to be tender-hearted, but the only way we're going to be tender-hearted is we've experienced His tenderness towards us. That's the way Jesus was. I would not want to throw this down my heart or someone else's heart on the floor and stomp on them or throw it away or wrinkle it up and trash it or mark it up or rip it. And you see, that's what we do through our actions, our words, and whatever else may have happened to us. And He showed me that when Jesus Christ walked this earth, He was so tender-hearted. He treated every person's heart with such gentleness and with such care. He didn't want anybody to be hurt. He gave me countless examples. He said, what about the leper? Well, lepers were just totally ostracized. But guess what? He came and He touched the leper with such love. He wasn't concerned for himself. He wanted that individual to know he had esteemed him and he had value and worth. He also talked about the woman caught in adultery. He didn't condemn her. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He mentioned to me the idea of the verse that Jesus quoted from Matthew 23:37, where He said, oh, Jerusalem, I wish I could gather you all under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks. Have we recognized His heart of gentle, tender compassion for the people? Luke 15, He said to me, do you realize that the Father, that extravagant Father with His sons, He was gentle and tender too. He did not chastise them for their attitudes towards Him. He loved them right where they were at. And He went to them. He went to them. He went to them, the one that had gone away from home. He ran to him as He saw him coming home. He went out to the one that was home but didn't come into His Father. He was gentle and tender everywhere He went. And so tonight, I want to leave you with the thought, do you know the one who is gentle and tender? And He wants to be that for you. He wants to be that for you, and He wants you to experience it more and more. I'm convinced that the more and more we experience His gentle, tender love, then it makes our hearts like His. I found it, and it was one of the first ones in the Old Testament that I found. It was from 2 Kings 22, verse 19. And here's Hosea. He became king when he was 8, and I think he was 15 or so when they found the books of the law, and he had them read, and he realized they were so far away from God. But he read it all, and he repented. He tore his clothes. Then, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that you would become a desolation and a curse, you tore your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you. So I'm just saying, when he realized how God had planned for things to be, and he realized they had not gone that way, his heart was tender and open for God to change him. And I think that's all God's looking for. If we will simply come and open our hearts and let him show us, he will begin to help us to have a tender heart, and it will be in turn then the way we treat others. I never saw it until tonight. I was just getting ready, and he talked to me about when we are gentle and tender, when we experience gentleness and tenderness, it makes us feel safe and secure. It makes me feel, I'm protected. I'm going to be okay because he's got me. And the verses from Matthew 25, 35 through 40, Jesus said that if you give a cup of cold water, or you feed me, or you clothe me, or you visit me in prison, he said, you will have done it unto me. Why? Because I suddenly realized those are all acts of showing gentleness and tenderness to people who are oftentimes not valued. And yet Jesus wanted each one of us to be like him. But until you experience that gentleness and tenderness for yourself, it will be difficult to do it otherwise. For you to respond that way. I realize there's very few songs about him being a gentle or tender shepherd, or gentle or tender, and not words that are used in the songs. So tonight, as you get ready to spend time, whether you're here or at home, put on some quiet music, get quiet, and allow him to speak to you about what it means to be gentle and tender. He is gentle and tender towards you. And he wants you to experience it. He gave me the image of a little soft fallen snow. He said, do you realize it comes down quietly, gently? I'm not talking about a big blizzard, just those snowflakes that come down and they coat the trees and they coat the ground. And he said, do you realize that's my image of gentleness and tenderness from nature? For you to realize that I'm covering your shame. I'm covering any dark spots that you don't like. And I'm gentle and tender about it. Because love covers. In the Passion Translation, from 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. And in verse 7, it says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. And love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. He wants to have you recognize his love is a safe place. He's gentle and consistently kind. And he believes the best about you and about me. So I pray that each one of you will experience more of his gentle, tender care over this next time of Thanksgiving, and when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, may you recognize that those seeds of gentleness and tenderness, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and kindness. But it's not something you have to conjure up. It's already been planted in you. It's just a matter of allowing him to grow it up so it can come out, so that you can be more and more gentle and tender with others and kind. So I bless each one of you. May you have a wonderful night. Thanks for listening.